Welcome to I Feel Your Pain, where stories of loss meet sacred solidarity. A space for storytelling, testimony, lament, and healing. My name is Tina Norbury, a communication strategist by training, a grief navigator by lived experience. You find yourself here today because your pain has a name, a date, a memory that weighs more than you can handle alone. For me, it is the 2nd of August. Burying my twin, secondary loss and identity. In this episode, I'm going to talk about intertwined lives, faith, and complex layers of grief that comes from secondary loss that feels anything but secondary. Picture this. What do you grieve when the person who dies is not your child, but felt like your own? This is the story of a sacred friendship, two boys raised like twins, and an 8-year battle with cancer that tested everything. We will explore the concept of compound grief when losses pile up in the same year, and that unique pain of secondary loss where you are mourning not just for a person, but a shared future and a part of your own family's identity. We will find our footing in the scripture that calls us to weep with those who weep, and we will navigate the difficult solidarity of how to show up for someone else when your own heart is breaking or already broken. Some friendships are born in light, easy places. Ours was forged in sacred, holy ground, the ground of mutual devastating loss. We met through a dear friend who took her own life. In the trenches of grieving her, we found each other. And from that sacred beginning, our lives became deeply intertwined. It wasn't very long when we realized that we had so much in common. It was as if God had been running a mirror script for years and finally folding its pages together. We shared a birthday month, or we still share a birthday month. Both parents had died when we met. We were both given responsibility by our mothers for our younger sisters who were nearly similar ages. And we treated these young sisters like our own children. We realized that although we grew up in different towns, at one point we were living in the same neighborhood, but our paths never crossed. Our sons were born 2 weeks apart in the same year. From then on, we did not raise these boys as friends, but they were raised like twins, even calling them Twin 1 and Twin 2. Our sons were the living, breathing joy that grew from the soil of our shared sorrow. He was not just a friend's son. He was my son too. Our families were one. So when he was diagnosed with brain cancer at the age of 18, the ground shifted beneath all of us. For me, because of my husband's stroke years before, I knew the terrifying language of neurology. When I got to that hospital, I was the one asking pertinent questions, but in my heart, I knew that this was different. I felt like I was reliving this, and I knew that it was going to be a long way ahead. For 8 years, he fought. For 8 years, we prayed with a hope that felt like a lifetime. His mother, my dearest friend, is a prayer warrior. He himself was so hopeful, so faithful, believing until the very end that God would heal him. He never stopped believing till the last day, till the day he took his last breath. In a year that already felt cursed, the unthinkable happened. My husband passed away in August, and in November, just 3 months later, he lost his battle. It felt like I was burying my husband, and then I was burying a son of my heart. The compounding grief was suffocating because all this was barely a year since my own sister passed on in a car crash. I was not just grieving him. I was grieving for a friend, for a mother who had relentlessly fought cancer alongside her son and still remained prayerful and believing in God. I was grieving for the future of our families that we would never have. I envisaged a time where we will be playing with his grandchildren, his children, whom we would call our grandchildren. I was grieving for the twin-like bond that was now severed. It was like burying a part of my own story, a part of my own son's history, and a part of the hopeful, redeemed identity of our friendship and everything we had built. We used to do most things identical, travel together, do things together, buy similar clothes, our children did things together. We parented them identically. And all that went. Even when we hoped and trusted and felt that a miracle was going to happen, he was going to be healed. It did not happen. In the aftermath, I was torn in two. My own grief was a gaping wound, but my friend's grief was an abyss. What was my role in this? How was I supposed to grieve? Was I supposed to be strong for her? Was I supposed to fall apart for myself? I found it very difficult to know how to grieve. Extremely challenging. Very confusing. I found my answer in one of the most simple yet most challenging instructions in the Bible. Romans 12, verse 15. It says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn." It does not say, "Fix those who mourn." It does not say, "Have the right theology or spiritual or emotionally motivating answer for those who mourn." It just says, "Mourn with them." This verse, for me, it was permission to stop trying to be a strong theological fortress for my friend. It called me to simply be a grieving mother, sitting with another grieving mother. It validated that my tears mingled with hers were a ministry. It was a shared lament that honored the sacredness of our son's life and the depth of our sacred loss. I believe that in God's economy, showing up with a broken heart is not failure of faith. I believe it is the very fulfillment of this command to have to be there and mourn with those who mourn. Today's solidarity is how to hold space for two hearts. If you are in this painful space where you are grieving a secondary loss, trying to support someone else, your heart is being pulled in a direction that feels impossible, I will share with you what I learned. First and foremost, I would like to say, your grief is valid. Do not minimize your pain because you were not the parent of this child. You have lost someone profoundly important. A secondary loss is a primary heartbreak. Name it, feel it, give yourself permission to grieve fully. I found that you can be a wounded healer. You don't really need to have it all together to support your friend. In fact, for me, I found that shared grief can be the bridge. You can comfortably say things like, this is what I used to say to my friend, or I continue saying that at times. I'll say, I have no words. My heart is also shattered. I'm here with you in this. This, I found, it's better and powerful. It's being real and being authentic. It's so much better than all those crafted, encouraging messages. I also found that finding my own support system helped a lot. You cannot pour out of an empty cup. I had to be very intentional about finding my own space to be falling apart. For example, with my own children, with my other friends, and also with a counselor. I needed someone with whom I didn't have to be strong. I needed a place where I can fall apart in order for me to have capacity to be able to be there with my friend, traveling the journey with her. But I needed to be falling apart and crying and grieving elsewhere. I found practical presence is better than perfection. Some people will disappear because they don't know what to say. I say to you, don't disappear. Show up with food. Send a text message saying, I'm thinking of you and him today. Show up with a card. Show up. Do not disappear. Mention his name. Share a memory. Your presence, not performance, is what matters the most. For us, we would comfortably talk about him. Before he died, he had launched a book and also he had started a brand. So we talk about Tawanda Forever. We talk about the rare and loved brands, and we would wear the t-shirts and the caps, we'd wear the hoodies. That's being present. I'd also say what I found with this secondary loss quite helpful is to honor the relationship. Just keep the memories alive in a family. Talk about the memories. We talk about the shared memories that we had when we traveled on holiday. We talk about the funny things he would say, you know, during his anniversary. I'll watch out for my son because my son will be broken. And we just talk about things. We find that these things affirm that his life shaped ours. And we also acknowledge that his legacy continues. We talk about him. It's not like he's gone and we've forgotten about him. We honor that relationship. We value it even up to today. Remember that you are navigating a dual grief. Be gentle with yourself. Showing up with a broken heart is not weakness. It is a testament to the power of the love you shared. Just be kind to yourself. If you are experiencing a secondary loss that has left you feeling unseen, I want you to know that your grief matters. It is a reflection of a love that was deep and real. As we close, I leave you with three things. One, listen deeply to your pain. It is a language God understands. Number two, lead clearly through your grief, because your scars light paths for others. Number three, communicate with care, especially to the hurting soul in your mirror. Until next time, your pain is safe here.